This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. Let me straighten up the recorder here a little bit because I got it on there crooked. One of these days, I'm going to actually tear apart this little remote control and put a new plug on it, and then it'll be glorious, but that day is not today. I've got a few other things going on right now. It's an interesting time. It is episode 420. No, wait. It's episode 726. It's 14 years. It's 52 times 14 minus 2. 728. 14 times 52 is 726. I think it's 726. Who can keep track of these numbers? Anyways, it is two podcasts away from 14 years worth of podcasts. So the good thing about all this is there will be plenty of material to feed into the artificial intelligence stuff to mimic my voice and my mannerisms and my talks and everything, should anyone wish to do that. I got tickled the other day because I was listening to this narrator voice thing. Really interesting. I forget what it was called. I could look it up. But very natural. I mean, you just feed it text and it would read this text very natural. Very easy to make audiobooks. Based on that, I'm thinking, well, shoot, here we go. And one of the things that you could do with it is that you could imitate your own voice. You could give it a bunch of samples of your voice, and then it would synthesize all those samples and then read it in your voice. Which people have told me before, hey, do you have audiobooks on your stuff? I'm like, well, maybe after I retire. But lands, I'm thinking, so I'm going to sit down and read 40 books? Woo! I don't think so. But if I could upload samples of my and have it, you know, or have someone else, one of their other voices, just read it. You know, that would be fine. I would be more than happy to feed it through and record it and then upload it into Audible and like that and like that and like that. So who knows? That may be coming. But I got tickled because the guy who was talking about it was like, yeah, it does really good imitating all these people's voices, but my voice, I don't think I sound like that at all. When he played it, and I was like, buddy, that's pretty much what you sound like. But of course, he hears it from inside, you know, up his Eustachian tube, not the way he sounds outside. And so yeah, it's kind of funny. I was laughing when he kept saying, no, I just don't think it's got me at all. Oh, really? Okay. But he was bragging on how it was impersonating other. Maybe I just didn't upload good samples. No, buddy, that's what you sound like. So anyways, what a time to be alive. Goodness. Such an interesting time. I started reading an article, haven't read it yet. I just started it, about a woman who wanted to get a friend of hers a date, and she used ChatGPT to respond to somebody who was interested. I don't know if she like published a picture of her friend on one of these dating apps, and then when this guy responded, she just fed his responses into ChatGPT and then pasted the ChatGPT responses back. And okay, this whole thing is just, you're never going to know who you're talking to anymore. I mean, I'm just telling you, this thing is just going to end up being bizarre really quickly. because we're going to have virtual friends and real friends and ways. Oh, man. I don't think we're ready for this. Honestly, I don't think we're ready for this. But it's going to come on fast, and it is going to come on strong. ChatGPT, I saw they had released an API, and you could get a license for this API for just dirt cheap. I mean, you could use this to get responses, and it was something like it would cost you 2 cents.
Excuse me.
2 cents for like 750 words or something. I mean, it's if you're using it in any sort of business application and you're generating the number of words that you could generate for $15, $20 a month at that rate, someone was speculating that they put the price that low because they want to get people using it and dependent on it. And then they'll jack up the price later, which maybe. So yeah, interesting time to be alive. I am so happy to be retiring now. I mean, provided inflation doesn't just blow all of my plans for what I was gonna live on, we'll see. Anyways, so ChatGPT. Wow. So interesting. All is well. I'm on the epilogue. I'm up to the epilogue. So I got to that point last night. We do have small groups tonight, so I probably won't get started with the epilogue. And tomorrow is going to be a wash for writing. As near as I can tell, it's going to be a wash. Because I have costume in the morning, and then grocery shopping, and then I race home, grab Net, and we have an appointment for a project we're working on together. And then that's going to take me mid-afternoon. I will be back. Then I've got to get back to the church. Hopefully I'll be back at the church 3-ish. Or so. I might have a couple of hours for writing there, and then I have to help set up at the church, so who knows, I might get a little bit of time in on Friday. Then this weekend, the big project for writing this weekend is to write the epilogue. But I've got a good setting for the epilogue. It's hopefully going to be one of those really good epilogues. And by good epilogue, I mean that by the time I'm finished done writing it, I will have blown out my sinuses because I can't cry anymore, and you know, I have a headache. Because the epilogue has the potential to be very touching on this one, and quite noble. And it looks like it's going to end up being a father-daughter thing, which those always resonate with me. Father-daughter stuff is just... Because my Lizzie is the most amazing thing I've ever accomplished in life. So, yeah. Anyway, so writing is going fine. The plan would be to finish up on the writing this weekend. Then I loop back and I have a week and a half-ish, 2 weeks in there to read through what I've got, tweak it a little bit.
Get it ready.
Meanwhile, I have to figure out what I'm doing for cover, although I think I know what I'm doing for the cover. So I think I know the basics of what I'm doing. Got the pieces, I think, together. I think I know what costumes I'm gonna get for the kids. So, if I have all of that under control, then, you know, that's all good. But over the next 3 weeks, after I get the epilogue written, which hopefully will get done this weekend, then the next 3 weeks is just about getting the beta version of Book 18 up and ready for release. Then the last week of March is taxes. Get those out of the way. And then simultaneously, going to be working on a project for costuming, which I'm already doing, and there will be more of, and this will be fun. This will be fun. I'm keeping notes. I'm keeping notes for how this goes. And I'll do a podcast on it. Because it's really fascinating. And it's fascinating in a way that documents interactions and highlights things perhaps about our relationship, my relationship with God. I don't know that everybody's relationship is this way. But it's really, really fascinating. So, yeah. So it's good. I do have to say that there's plenty to do right now. There's plenty to do. But he's so good to just help us one step at a time, one thing at a time, moving forward. It's good. Just as a small programming note, I am heading home. I do have small groups tonight, and so as soon as I get home, I will need to wrap this up pretty quickly. I listened to a really fascinating discussion between Jordan Peterson and Constantine, what is his name? Nope, stop it. We don't need that. And Constantine, really, really interesting. Jordan Peterson and I'm looking. Constantine Kissin, I think is his name. Constantine Kissin. Called Constantine Kissin and the Counter Woke Revolution. So, lots of interesting things. Constantine Kissin actually went viral recently because they had a woke versus anti-woke debate at Oxford, and he was asked to come in and be a part of the anti-woke, and he did a speech at Oxford. Excellent speech. Constantine Kissin is the son of Russian immigrants, had all kinds of adventures in life, from his parents being very wealthy and sending him to school in England, and then his parents losing everything and him ending up living in a park while he had his job and, you know, seeing the underside of it. He tells a really interesting story. He said at the time he was addicted to cigarettes and he was smoking, and of course those cost money, and he didn't have any money, and he saw a man who had lit up a cigarette, and then the bus came right when he lit up the cigarette, and the guy said a few choice curse words and flicked the cigarette either into the trash, I think it was into the trash, and Constantine Kissin said that after the guy left, he walked up and he fished it out, and he said he finished the cigarette, and once he had gotten out of that situation, he told himself that will never happen again. So lots of interesting stuff in that, but in just smack dab in the middle of talking about the woke, anti-woke revolutions and what to do, which I might say is an excellent discussion as well, and Constantine Kissin's viewpoint, and apparently this is a viewpoint that's shared by Jordan Peterson, and there's stuff on the move, which is going to be really interesting to see what's going on here. Konstantin Kissin, his viewpoint is we can't just be against the woke revolution. We just can't sit over on the side and, you know, point our fingers and say that's bad, that's bad, that's bad, because he was saying that he's seen people that it doesn't matter what someone who is more liberal says, they're immediately just going to oppose it. And he said that's not any better than woke ideology is. Because we have to think for ourselves, we have to allow people the space to have their own beliefs, and that's all true. And so he is trying to propose other things to say, look, these are valuable things. And one of the things he talks about in his speech in Oxford is putting things into perspective of where we are and the privilege that we enjoy and taking advantage of that, but the responsibilities that we have to take that privilege and to do good with it, not just to point our fingers at people and, you know, harangue at them, but to actually do good with what we've been given. And lots of good discussions in there. And in the process of those discussions, Jordan Peterson opened up about a process that he's working on to present this unified vision for something that people can latch on to that isn't necessarily religious, but nonetheless embodies big goals in life and areas that people should be focused on, as opposed to just figuring out how that, you know, you're terrible and horrible because of the color of your skin. And Jordan Peterson was talking about the fact that he's been amazed when he has talked to people and been trying to set up getting groups of people together to talk about this, to get this document together, how those people have said, well, I had such and such appointment that was scheduled here, but I'm canceling all that. You let me know when I have to be there, and I will be there. And basically, Konstantin Kissin told him exactly the same thing. He said, absolutely. He said, if you need anything from me, I will assist you in this. So there seems to be this thing happening where thinkers and those that are in the world and doing battle against the woke ideology, the radical woke theology, that those people recognize that they do have to be more than just pointing out flaws, that they have to propose something else. And they have to propose something else that has broad enough appeal in it and broad enough truth in it that people can adapt it and use it. And part of that is just getting to fundamentals. So it's going to be really interesting to see. I think Jordan Peterson said that they had come up with kind of the six core questions, and then they were discussing those six core questions and approaches and et cetera, et cetera. And Konstantin Kissin was just like immediately, yes, I'm in. So that was interesting. But one of the other things that I found really interesting about the talk is that right in the middle of all this, they spun down into a discussion about God and the existence of God. And Konstantin Kissin is not an atheist, because he doesn't believe that you can really make that determination whether you're an atheist or not, but he's agnostic, that he just doesn't know. And it's interesting because he freely admits that he has experienced things that do not easily fit within what we might interpret as a pure materialistic universe. He has experienced intuitions, knowing about things that don't seem to correspond to the inputs that he's had, but that he's just had an intuition and he has listened to those intuitions and they've worked out well. Well, in my framework, obviously it's like, yeah, that's Jesus. He loves you. But he's not ready for that yet. I'm getting my mail, one moment. He's not ready for that yet, which is fine. And what's fascinating about all that, there we go, wonder what that is Jordan Peterson really kind of came to a vigorous attempt to approach the issue of does God exist from a lot of different ways with him. And would say, okay, but what about this? Okay, but what about this? Okay, but how do you feel? Try this on for size. How do you feel about this? And I mean, it was quite a vigorous, I wouldn't say apologetic, for the existence of God, but quite a vigorous effort to have Constantine Kissin say, yeah, there might be something there beyond us. Constantine Kissin's viewpoint was, I just don't understand why it has to be outside of me. Why can't all of that just be within me? And Jordan Peterson's response to a lot of that is, well, you know, we'll see, but that there is an animating spirit, whatever you choose to call it, the logos, and he was talking about Greek philosophy, and he was talking about all this, but that there is this animating spirit, there is this thing that purports a type of morality that people recognize, and they got into a lot of really interesting discussions, but at one point, they got into a discussion and a statement that Jordan Peterson made, and I went, right! Because it agrees with something I've been saying, and of course, I like anybody who agrees with me, and that is that a core morality, a core logos, something that exists in the world, and that is an intuition about the nature of reality, something that sets a foundation for behavior. All of that is absolutely essential. And it's essential that it exists for even those things that we might consider to be replacements for that. So one of the things that has happened in the whole scientific and technological revolution is that we've been trying to redefine these things in such a way to say, oh, we don't need that old archaic religious belief anymore because we have science, because we have technology. And one of the things I've said in the past is no, because without a moral code, you don't have science. And your technology will go badly off the rails. Because if you don't have people who are disciplined and moral and upright and conscientious doing your science, creating your technology, everything's going to go off the rails. And so it was interesting to hear Jordan Peterson say, well, without morality, you don't even have science. It's like, you're right. because you can't trust any results because people are fudging the numbers and people aren't doing their jobs right. So the whole thing was a very, very interesting discussion. Most of it is on YouTube. Jordan Peterson and Constantine Kissin, they're both spelled with K's. Very interesting all the way around. It'll be interesting to see what comes of that, but it's also going to be very interesting to see what comes of all of this. Because it will be so fascinating to see how much of this is going to form up and what are the pieces that are in play and what's going to happen to those pieces. This is a fascinating time. So very, very interesting. And Jesus is moving forward with us, and it's going to be fun. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.